The boogie monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
I'll just fade this up and then no one will be the wiser.
You don't know what happened before that fade. Oh, What's up, buddy?
What's going on, Hambone? What are you doing?
Recovering, man. Icing my hocks. After
your dog's barking today?
Yeah, man. We got up, went roller skating. Indoor roller rink.
Really?
Yeah, Rachel.
Indoor roller skating.
Dude, it was an idea I had for Rachel for Valentine's Day, but it was all booked up. I'm like, well, here was the idea. I wanted points for the idea, even though I didn't execute.
Yeah.
I'm like, just so you know, this is what I wanted to do.
I tried.
Yeah. And I assumed that she would know that, like, you could have rented the rink out for, the numbers are changing now that kind of the precautions are being lowered, but it was like 6 people, then 10 people or whatever. And I think today it was like we had it for 10, but only Sean Jordan came out, and then Rachel's sister-in-law came out, and then Derek Brown and his gal Lizzie came out, and that was it. We had a whole, and it was a big roller rink too, or at least it seemed big.
Really?
I mean, I haven't been to a roller rink in a while.
Yeah.
But,
dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, and you bring a playlist, so they play it over the sound system, and it's old school. They had like the Wurlitzer up above the rink in the middle of it.
Really?
Yeah, obviously nobody was playing it, but the fact that they had all the old organs and stuff up there.
Uh-huh.
And it was fun for an hour. Yeah, just got to cruise around to songs of our choosing. But skating, man, that is going to work out your body more than you realize.
Yeah. Dude, I used to love that. When I was, a preteen, that was real big in like elementary school. Everybody's birthday party was at the roller rink and church functions and stuff. Man, I love it. I haven't been to a roller rink, I bet, in 30 years. That's a great idea.
I don't want to take this the wrong way. We make jokes about you being a big boy and such. But in a non-mean way, like, you were always not like, but like, you're a built fella.
Yeah, I've always been, when I was younger, I was stocky. Now I'm just obese.
But you're built built for speed. You're built for sturdiness.
Exactly, yeah.
Do you, are you a good dancer?
I got rhythm.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know a lot of moves and stuff, but I got a little rhythm.
No, but that's what I mean. Like bigger folks always seem to have more rhythm, and also like the skating kind of thing is very rhythm based. Like, you can get out there and hobble around, but it takes like listening to the music and getting into the groove and doing your crossovers and the turns and everything. And I didn't know if like, because I know you like music and everything, but I never saw you dance. And I don't know if it's like, they'd be like, oh, yeah, of course, Dave. Like, sturdier folks such as yourself, for some reason, have like a more inherent sense of rhythm.
I don't know why that is. Yeah. Why would that be? But yeah, I know some big boys that got rhythm.
Yeah, and I don't know what that is, too. And every time, like, anytime I would see bands, if there was, like, a big fat drummer, I'm like, this guy's going to wail.
You know what the sports equivalent to that is? And I've always noticed this, and I don't know what you attribute this to, but, like, in basketball, you don't see it in the NBA because everybody's obviously in shape, but I remember playing rec league and high school basketball and stuff. If ever there was a chubby dude or even a fat, full-on fat dude on the team, that dude could shoot the lights out. I've played with so many fat dudes that, you know, they're not going to hustle up and down the court and they're not going to play defense, but, man, they could shoot the three-pointer. And so I don't know. I don't know what that is.
It's like I wonder if it's something like being larger, you got to be more in sync with mm-hmm. your movements and motions? Like you got, like you kind of forced coordination?
Yeah, that might be a thing, because I'm also, Katie was talking about this the other day, ironically, like she says I'm very graceful, even though I'm big, like I'm light on my feet.
That's what I
in
mean.
In terms of like,
yeah, you're moving more
walking
around.
Walking around the apartment.
Mm-hmm. You're moving more product.
I think
around.
Maybe that is a subconscious thing of like, hey, I'm a liability with all this cargo. I got to be careful with what I do with it. Finesse.
Yeah, finesse. Good one. Hmm. Finesse.
Man.
But I don't know. I was wondering what it was. Now. But that, if you can go skate, man, Dave, you live in Long Beach. Strap a pair on. Hit that boardwalk. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, I need to. What's, Katie's got a nice pair of roller skates. I need to get me a pair. Well, I talked about months ago. I'm thinking about getting rollerblades. I used to have a pair about 20 years ago. Loved it. Loved rollerblading. Oh, great. The construction starts right now.
That's all right. If you can hear that. We know how to time it out.
Jesus.
Yeah. I think, why deny yourself? That's the beauty of just being old. Like, who cares what people think you look like? Mm-hmm. It's more fun to surprise people, I think, with what they don't expect, which is out of your canon, rather than like, oh, of course, that's what the guy that looks like that would be doing. I think it's more interesting to be a surprising individual. Like, is that Dave Stone rollerblading? Like, couldn't be. And that's what you have to be like, it sure can. It sure can.
Well, and this would be a great place to do it, too, because we have so many nice bike lanes in Long Beach. Bike culture is huge here.
Yeah.
But I see a lot of people roller skating and rollerblading in the bike lanes. I don't think bikers have a problem with that.
Well, and I'm all beat up because, man, that is some exercise.
Yeah. Using that core, keeping that balance.
Yeah.
Did you wear knee pads or anything?
No, and I went down a couple times. I was trying to get fancy. Mm-hmm. I can spin to go backwards pretty good, but then once I'm going backwards, I'm like, well, I'm shit out of luck now.
I used to could do the, I was a big fan of the squat down on one leg thing.
Oh, with the leg out in front of you, the ice skate move?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I could rock that move.
That's how I crashed before. I was trying to do 1 foot just going forward with one leg behind me. I saw Rachel do it. I'm like, I'm going to try that. I went down on a knee. Mm-hmm. I was like, that was done for the day. Mm. But it was fun. It was early, too. I can't believe, like, we're recording already. We already had lunch. I got out and did roller skating. It's like, I don't do anything anymore. You do two things in a day. You feel like the president.
Oh, absolutely. Man, I just had this thought. I've always, I don't think I've been to a live version of this, but I always thought roller derby is pretty rad. But that always seems to be predominantly a female thing. I can't remember seeing like male roller derby teams, but that would be fun as shit.
I think they're.
I mean, I'd break my collarbone at some point, but
I think they're out there. I think the male roller derby team is like the WNBA. Like for equality's sake, it's out there. But as far as what your people are interested in, it's like, nah, we want to see these ladies.
Yeah.
Ravage each other.
Yeah, that's some cool shit. Those gals are badass.
Yeah.
Love seeing that stuff.
Shit's no joke, man.
Whew. I have to come up with a punny name.
Yeah, you got to have a... You want to hear did I tell you the dumbest joke I came up with last week?
I don't think so.
What do you call a fat psychic?
I don't know.
An e-clairvoyant. This is how bad my comedy's deteriorated, Dave. This is why I got to start doing some practice shows, man. I am out of shape.
Oh my god, e-clairvoyant.
I mean, it's like technically it's good. Technically, it's a good joke. Oh, it's got no soul to it.
Was he?
But technically,
somebody.
It's a good joke.
I'm going to be careful here and not name names, but one of the funniest, and I feel like I can tell fat jokes, you know, because I am fat.
Yeah.
But somebody, I don't know if it was you or somebody, so-and-so bought a new car. She got a Toyota Corolla with cheese.
Oh, yeah. That was a... I know who is, oh, I know who is telling that joke and who they were saying it about, and it was just...
Mm-hmm.
How, like, what's the most ridiculous version? of a girl. Yeah, that was a another joke about specifically the LA area. It's like,
yeah.
So
I'm so fat when I drive on the 101, it becomes the 405.
Yeah. And it's,
I make that joke about me, so shut up.
And it's
sensitive,
like,
people.
That's the I never want to side with the fucking cancel culture SJWs, but as a comedian, when you know that it's the fact that the joke is so dumb, that's mm-hmm. what you're like. There's zero hate for fat people or psychics. It's just that e clairvoyant. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Works.
That's funny.
And to know that that's what people are coming down on in some cases. Like, that's a racist comedian. It's like, nah, they're kind of they're being over the top racist because racism's a joke. And that's why mm-hmm. People understand that comedians will slip into a character of being a bad comedian for the sake of other comedians.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, watch me try to be the worst comedian you've ever seen.
Yes.
By being like the most racist, the most biggest asshole. Because that's
Something funny about being grossly inappropriate.
Yeah.
You know, if it's meant to be, if you're joking, right, you know. Now, if these are your true thoughts on certain groups or whatever, then yeah, get out of here with your hate speech. But like,
yeah,
as a quick gag amongst comics, what's the most inappropriate thing I could say in this moment?
Yeah, like taken out of context or just like, listen, this isn't for you. You know, this type of comedy is not for you. Comedy's for everybody. No, it's not. This is for other comics. This is the secret dinner party.
Yeah.
For other chefs
back of the
to
room.
Eat weird stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. What do they call that? Chef's night or man, there's some term for when service industry folks eat after hours after the restaurant's closed. Fuck, I forgot.
Oh, really? Term,
yeah. Anyway. Well, there's family meal. Do you know about family meal?
No. What's that?
That's big in the restaurant biz. Family meal is just feeding the rest of the staff before the restaurant opens. Or I guess sometimes it could be after.
Oh, I thought that was just shift dinner or something.
Yeah, but you have like your shift meal, which, you know, if you work here, you get one free meal or whatever and eat it on your break or whatever. But like a lot of nicer restaurants, like once a week, they'll have family meal where they'll rotate. They'll pick somebody in the kitchen staff or whatever to make dinner for the entire staff. Mm-hmm. Before the restaurant opens. So, yeah, that's a comedy version of family meal.
Okay, that's kind of a nice thing. Like, here, taste this, and then you can sincerely recommend.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big part of it, too. Yeah, you should be able to recommend with experience rather than just bullshit your way. I've done that a lot. A lot of times I will ask the server, like, hey, I'm torn between these two dishes. Which do you recommend? I haven't eaten either one. All right, well.
No, I love a strong opinion.
Yeah.
I love it when somebody's like, this one, great, thank you. I got worse. I've gotten worse with making choices, I'll tell you that.
Really?
There's too many options. I'm just like, I just need somebody like this. Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh. You want a spooky thing? You want a boogie monster thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before we go wilding out, and as I gotta say every week, Reddit is popping off with food dishes.
Yeah.
Dave, you gotta check it out. These people are above and beyond.
I popped in there the other day, and I saw those scallops. Whoever made those damn scallops.
The scallops are great. There's like a carbonara on there. It's going for it. But I'll tell you this. This just happened today. Rachel's sister-in-law was at a funeral over the last weekend, and apparently the whole thing was like everybody wear red. It was the person who passed away. It was their favorite color, and so everybody wear red. That's what we're going to do for this funeral. Instead of black, we'll wear red. It's their favorite color, and somebody did, and then when she was leaving, she's like, oh, this is a pretty church this is at. She took a picture of the church, and then the next picture on her phone is just a completely red tile. Not like she took a picture of something, like the color red.
Yeah, that she didn't photograph.
That she did not take a picture of.
Huh.
So There's a little something creepy.
I like
around.
That idea, though. I like the red wardrobe. I like the to commemorate the fallen person with something like that. That's pretty cool.
I get that, you know, people are sad, but absolutely. If I die, you better be partying. Like, be sad. I'm a pretty cool guy. But you should still, like, live it up.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I know that's the good, like, a good comedy pastime is who's got, like, you know, every comedian coming up with how ridiculous their funeral can be. We've already gone down the casket wraps road. I've had playlists, you know. But I do think the celebration of life. I mean, after my grandmother's funeral, we went to a tiki bar.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Grandma liked tiki drinks?
No, it was just nearby.
I would like my funeral to be catered. I'd like it to be a catered affair.
Well, because they usually do like a brunch afterwards, right? Or is it like, where do they have the tradition where people come over to the house with a casserole? Or is that just in the weeks following?
Is that considered the wake?
Wake is like the sneak preview of the funeral.
Mm-hmm. Wake. And in Judaism, they sit shiva. That's like a week. You just got to hang out for a week.
Yeah, I'm not really clear on that one. They got to just kick it with the dead person for a while. Mm-hmm. Right? Somebody's got to sit with them.
Is the dead person there?
Yeah, somebody sits with them.
Okay, so that's the sit shiva. I thought it just meant we're all going to be together and hang out for a week. I didn't realize the
course was I'm going to look it up.
I know in the South it's big to just show up, you know, with casseroles and food and, you know.
According to...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, according to Wikipedia, so it is a week-long mourning period. So that for first-degree relatives.
Okay. Does it say the body is there?
No, it's 7 days following the burial.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I thought there was something where they had to, like, sit with the body, too, though.
Hmm.
Hey, everybody, faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
I don't know. It seems like Judaism handles things a lot more. It makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from what little I know of it. It seems like they're like all the bullshit with Catholicism. Like nobody's screaming to get like the Torah engraved in granite in front of a courthouse. But goddamn, if we don't have, I think I'm going to join. I think I'm going to join the Church of Satan.
Really?
Yeah. Part of it, 'cause it's like a fun, edgy thing to do. And I'm a child. But also, part of it is like I think just as a political and a sociological group, I think they're doing good things because they don't worship Satan.
We talked about that.
Yeah, but their whole thing about like they're making, since they're a religion, they're doing something where they're trying to make like how. Not in the way that I'm saying, but like abortion is part of their religion in the sense that you're in charge of your own body. So if you choose to have an abortion, that falls under their religion. of mm-hmm. being the proprietor of your own being. And so they're using that to go against states that are putting up all these anti-abortion things. Like, well, you're violating a religion then. So they're just basically putting stuff in to fight when states, church are saying basically they exist basically to go up anytime the government is trying to inject religion into law.
Yeah.
That's all they're there for, is to fight religion jumping into the courthouses and the law. And so that I'm as a protest group, I'm absolutely all for that. Whenever there's like the Ten Commandments shit going up in front of a courthouse, fine. Then you got to put up Baphomet. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to put up something yeah. religious, this is about, you have to honor all religions. So put up it's not that they want the Baphomet in front of a courthouse. It's just them throwing it in their face. You want religion here? Cool. This is our religion. Put this up too, because all religions are equal in this country.
Well, I always found it weird how the pro or the anti separation of church and state people like, okay, but you mean Christianity, right?
Yeah.
Like, can we put Buddha in there? Can we put Allah in there? Like, that they're so adamant about keeping, you know, let's don't take prayer out of the school. Okay, well, we'll keep your prayer or whatever, but can we also add all these others? Yeah, exactly. But, oh, no, that's not what we meant. Yeah, of course not.
I mean,
and I guess the argument there is, well, this country was founded under Christianity.
That's country.
Says who? Like,
founded under the idea that people were running for their own religious freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, buddy, what are we going to get about? I don't know. I just think it'd be cool to get literature from a Church of Satan. Be a cool pin or something.
I bet you they have some rad functions.
I mean, yeah, their mixers have to be way more entertaining. Mm-hmm. Although maybe not. Maybe it's just a bunch of dorks, you know, bunch of edgelords and stuff.
Now, what's an edgelord? I've heard that, but I don't know. Exactly
like a troll, like somebody just trying to, just being controversial for the sake of being controversial. You know, just shitster, if that's a better term for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just one of them dang old shitsters, man.
Have you ever had, this is interesting that you're contemplating that. Have you ever contemplated any other religion? I know you were raised Catholic, but beyond that, you ever thought, I'm gonna go be a Buddhist?
It's funny. I was watching The Simpsons last night where Lisa finds out about Buddhism mm-hmm. from Richard Gere and Lenny and Carl. It did seem like, even just from the basic Simpsons episode where they're talking about, like, yeah, it's just the elimination of desire, will, that's what a peace and happiness is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I don't know, man. Because even that, like, well, what, desire to have a roof over your head? So you got to go to work. Hmm. So you're unhappy because you got to go to work because you want a roof over your head. So, I mean, I don't know. Man, I'm just trying to be cool, Dave. I'm just trying to be a cool, mellow dude.
Well, you're already there, but
well, no, man, that's cool, my religion. You never, mm-hmm. you can only attempt to be a cool, mellow dude. You might never achieve it, but it's the pursuit.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
The pursuit of becoming a cool, mellow dude, which is what's important. What do you do? What do you think you're leaning towards?
Man.
No.
I was so fucking beat over the head with Christianity the first 20 years of my life that now it's just refreshing to think for myself.
They really don't let you question anything in that one.
No.
There's really no, we welcome curious children that are unsure about how this works. Like, nope, mm-hmm. we sure do not.
I remember being very little, like 6 or 7, and driving home or riding home from church with a family, and I posed the question, probably a little more rambling than this, but basically my question was, how do we know we're correct as Christians? Like, and I've yet to receive a solid answer on that question.
I mean, if it's
just convenient that we picked the one religion that is the end all, that is the absolute correct one.
But, well, yeah, it's like the exceptionalism too. Like America's the greatest country. Christianity's the only way to be. Like, oh man, how can you be so locked into? I don't know. Do I really have anything smart to say about this, Dave? That's what I have to ask myself. And I think my answer is no. I think I got wobbly skate legs. I over-caffeinated.
How's your ankles and stuff doing? Were you suffering with some?
We're trying to get back, man. We got the van out here. We're ready to hit the road. We're ready to get to America. We got to figure out a way to string you up in this thing.
Ooh, that. What about a hammock?
I mean, I was looking at ways to fix a hammock into it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the guy built it where like there'd be anchor points. You know what I mean?
Maybe bunk beds.
It's already got a bed built into it though. We're gonna get you set up, Dave. We're gonna be out in this world.
Dude, now that you're a van owner, I gotta say I'm feeling a touch of van nostalgia or maybe even new van fever.
Yeah,
because you got to understand, for the last decade, my point of view in terms of owning a van was, you know, to live in it. But the concept of buying a van and not having to live in it, oh boy, I kind of like that. And man, I went down a rabbit hole a couple nights ago. Now this is just me daydreaming. I don't really have the disposable income right now to buy a second vehicle. But dude, I think I want to become a boogie van dude. I think I want to get like a nice 70s boogie van, maybe like a Chevy G series or something, and just make that my weekend vehicle.
I mean, you're in the LBC. That's got car culture all around it.
Mm-hmm.
You get one of those flat fronted Fords. You airbrush it or what? I know a few people have dropped in and shown some airbrushing. I'm not trying to be obvious with this van. I'd rather be. It's not incognito. It's got a window on the side and everything. But I don't need to paint.
Yeah,
hey, I got drugs in here on the side of it.
Yeah, I don't know about airbrushing. You know, a mural or anything, but definitely maybe some flames.
You go flames.
Maybe some sort of cool paint job. I don't know, something to spice it up a little bit.
I always like the low rider paint jobs.
Mm-hmm.
All the different like sunbursts and fades and everything and the pinstriping.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just thought lowrider culture was like the coolest.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get how people could be really immersed in that world. It's cool. Like it's a hobby that you can show off to the world every day.
Well, I mean, you know,
not
like
the world, but your town.
Like growing up, kids like would get into hip hop and then they'd want to be, you know, hip hop dudes and stuff. And now I think what's cool is like everybody's into everything and there's no, well, I shouldn't say that, but it's, you know, you don't want to be the white person with cornrows, but they're out there and I think they're less shamed than they would be 15 or 20 years ago.
That's true.
But about it, like fashion is kind of just fashion for everybody in the more progressive circles. I know there's appropriation and things out there. There's appropriation, there's appreciation. There's two different things. You know, wearing a big Indian headdress that's reserved for champions of battle is appropriation, but maybe wearing, like I saw online, somebody wearing a, you know, like a Asian-style dress is an appropriation. It's that's a pretty dress, and if it's just a dress that developed in that country and didn't symbolize anything other than being of the style of a certain country, all right. I was trying to make a joke about how, like, the reasons white people don't see anything wrong with appropriating culture is because we don't have any. And so if we saw, like we do, but it's not great. It's like Oktoberfest and Jimmy Buffett. Like that's what we have. And so if we saw somebody else take that, like if we saw like a black guy that just wants to do the electric slide, we'd be like, hell yeah, man, get in here. Like we wouldn't care because it's not great. culture. Where was I going? I always wanted to be Mexican, I think, is the one I wanted. I always liked, I always really liked, like, Latin culture and, like, mm-hmm. like I always liked, like, the lowrider scene. And I loved the look of, like, crisp Dickies in a white T-shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was always fascinated. I always joked about why they would wear hairnets. I never understood that one.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, like, always, like, is it, like, is that, like, because he doesn't want to leave evidence or he's just super sanitary? But, like, the hairnet thing I never understood within it. But I always, like, I just liked that look.
Yeah, I know what you mean, especially since I moved out here. I mean, obviously, we had a big Latino population when I lived in Georgia, but out here, it seems more like the, excuse the term, but more OG, like, you know, original Latino culture out here in Southern California.
The top button, Pendleton, mm-hmm. with Dickies, like, I always thought that was a cool look.
Yeah. I appropriated a small piece of Latino culture when I moved out here. I never rocked this look when I lived in Georgia, but the black socks with shorts. For some reason, I got real bored of white socks, but I'm a big fan. I like black sneakers. Most of my sneakers are black. When I wear shorts, it's like, let me put on these black socks. I never really saw much of that till I moved out here. I noticed a lot of the Latino kids were rocking the black socks with the shorts, and I've adopted that. Been rocking that for 10 years now.
I never knew that as like a Latino thing. I thought that was just changing up your game once in a while.
Yeah. I mean, it may not be. I just happened to notice it, you know, from the Latino teens out here, whomever. I was like, oh, good idea. Before I was associated black socks with like dress pants and stuff. But
I found out you can get black athletic socks, I was all over it.
Yeah, I haven't wore white socks in a decade.
You do fun socks? You ever have fun socks?
I've got a couple pair of fun socks. Yeah. I'm not opposed to that.
I think all I have are fun socks.
I got some nice Sasquatch socks. Got a couple silly pair.
I got some too. It's about, I can't keep getting new tattoos, but if somebody like you, the socks, because they just peek out from under the pants, and somebody's like, "Oop, sneaky, mm-hmm. see ya."
Yeah.
Look, he's got a little bit of party hidden underneath him.
So what do you think, man? Here's my thing with a van. I'm torn between two directions. I really love the boogie street vans, but then I also really love, like, the off-road. Like, maybe a later model Econoline geared up off-road style.
Yeah, those sportsmobile four-wheel drive conversions.
Yeah.
Those are good.
I don't know which route to go.
I mean, those are, you see the surfers have those because they can cruise out into the sand with them. They're not going to be good. Mm-hmm. You got to think about ground clearance. The reason the Jeep's great is because it's short. You got a big long-ass van, even though it's four-wheel drive. I mean, you're still going to be on dirt roads, which if you're on dirt roads, you're probably already fine with two-wheel drive. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What are you trying to do with it, man? If you're just trying to cruise around and be cool, man, get that boogie van.
Yeah.
Get yourself a bubble moon window in the back or star, whichever shape. I'm not going to dictate what you should
diamond.
Have.
Mm-hmm. But the thing with the off-road, like, it looks cool. And when inevitably this country just goes down the shitter and we're in a civil war or whatever, you know, I'll be ready. It'll be my bug out van. I'd like to have a bug out van.
The problem with all this bugging out is you're still going to need gasoline.
Yeah.
That was one of my qualms about buying this van. I'm like, why is there not a hybrid or an electric option available yet? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just didn't want to wait. I'm like, I'm trying to hit the road now. So who knows,
those
man?
Those Sprinter vans, they make a diesel at Mercedes. Of course, that's $100,000.
Those
diesel ones get good mileage. Relatively.
And thanks to everyone that weighed in about the ProMasters. I saw nicer ProMaster builds, but everybody's like, do not get a ProMaster. So I got the Ford Transit. But I wonder what's going to happen to all the gas cars. Everybody's phasing them out. Everybody's like, we got to have electric cars by this date or that date. And they're going to be collector's items. Or they're just going to be somebody figuring out how to convert it? Or is it going to be somebody, that figures out how to change the engine slightly in order to get it to? This is where I try to put some hope in the world, Dave. Mm-hmm. Is that I think that what we see on the news and all social media, everybody gets the negative stuff. That's what people click on. That's what people read, myself included. But maybe there's a whole world there's a whole realm of individuals out there that are working on good things, that are working on how to get microplastics out of the ocean and working on. We just don't see those news stories because they're not. They don't sell the ads as much.
Yeah.
But maybe there's hope out there, and there are scientists and good souls quietly grinding away on making the world better. And they're not so worried about the news coming out there. They'll be like, all right, we'll get when we're ready to tell you about how we figured this out, you'll get it soon enough. So I think it's happening. I see the news stories pop up once in a while here and there. Like I said, they just don't get as much excitement around them. Maybe there's
whatever
hope,
happened
Dave.
To biodiesel. I thought that was going to be a big thing. Biodiesel.
Yeah, I was wondering about the French fry grease. You know.
Yeah. A buddy of mine worked for a company that they would go around and collect fryer grease from restaurants, and I think mainly they focused on old Mercedes. They would convert like 70s and 80s Mercedes to biodiesel.
Yeah, there's something easy, I think, or convenient about those to change them over.
Mm-hmm. How far do you think we are from gasoline being almost obsolete? Like, is that 10 years, 20 years? Like, at what point will almost everybody have an electric car?
I don't know.
Car?
You see all these different countries are like, we're going to have all electric vehicles. Obviously, it's European countries. Like, by this date, they're all kind of coming up with their different. Not that they'll just that they won't only electric vehicles will be sold. There'll be still gas vehicles on the road, but they won't be making any new ones. And I have no idea date wise or anything, but it's got to get there, man. It'd be nice, you know, it'd be nice to not have to go to war for oil. And then we could start going to war for whatever else they need, for lithium or what have you. You know, whatever rich nations need that poor nations have. Be nice to just change it up.
Speaking of war, you pay attention to what the bombing this week? I have no idea about the details of it.
No.
Just out of the gate, bombing people.
Yeah. Yeah, imagine that. Joe Biden's a politician. What you know,
dude? Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say it's gonna be weird when or if, like, you think about, like, people go on vacation to Vietnam now, and it's paradise, and anybody just go, it's a great vacation destination. I wonder if the Middle East will ever get to that. Like, oh, where are you going for spring break? Oh, I'm going to Pakistan. You know?
Yeah, I don't want to speak ill of it because I have almost no knowledge, but.
Hasn't stopped us in 5 years, Dave.
It doesn't seem like a vacation destination. It's all just desert, correct? There's no lush parts of the Middle
East. It's a big mountain climbing destination. I think
there
could be skiing if that was implemented there. And just culture-wise, something to see.
Yeah.
You know, and historically, if ISIS hasn't blown up, you know, some of the oldest structures on planet Earth are in that area. Mm-hmm. Birthplace of civilization. Mm-hmm. So just from a historic, I mean, I remember when she was a little kid, like, I was going to go to Egypt with my dad. I think my dad was like, I want to see the pyramids. We're going to figure out a way to go. Yeah. And then that all went to shit. But my aunt got to go. You can go there. Why wouldn't you want to see that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I wasn't thinking about the pyramids, but that would be amazing. Dude, you been, any chance you caught this Woody Allen doc on HBO?
No, I'll be honest. I've just been crushing The Wire, and I got to put my...
Oh, really? Been watching The Wire, huh?
I'm finally just like I said, my foot's been banged up. I'm like, all right, this is the show everybody likes. I'm going to watch it. I can get my bachelor picks in, too. Gotta fill in my bachelor bracket too. They're doing the ladies tell all tonight. Losing my ass on this thing.
Oh my God.
No, why? What's going on with Woody Allen? Is it all the stuff we know about already?
Man, it's, I didn't know many of the details about that story, but holy shit. Like, I mean, dude, this guy, world-class shithead. Like, if the stories are true, but like, you got a lot of, like, here's the thing. It's not just one person saw one little thing. It's multiple people, multiple incidents.
He's just a creep.
Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, oh man. Well, here's the thing too. And let me preface this. I'm not in no way am I victim shaming, even though I don't know if Mia Farrow would technically be considered a victim, but like, well, you know that he, obviously, is he still married to Soon-Lee?
His kid? Yeah, he's still married to his kid.
So, the first time that Mia Farrow found out about that, first of all, she found naked or suggestive pictures of her in his apartment. My point is, then later, I think somebody admitted that they started banging. And then because he had joint custody of one of the other adopted kids, he was allowed to come once a week to their little lake house in Connecticut and just visit with the kids and visit with the family after it had already been confirmed that he's banging one of them. And I just feel like Mia Farrow should have been like, oh, and also Mia Farrow continued to act in his movies. Like, why didn't she just say, fuck off, we are done? Like, fuck your movie, fuck the contract, sue me, fuck the custody. Like, no, you're not getting around my other children when you've already fucked one of them. I just don't understand how she was just like, well, what can you do? And again, not blaming her. He's obviously the main culprit here. But I just, and, you know, I'm not a parent, so I don't have that perspective. But it's just like, if you knew he's banging your oldest adopted kid, why on earth would you let him around the others?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to be like, QAnon's full of shit. And then you watch something like this. We're like, I remember that, where this Academy Award winner started banging his own kid.
I mean,
I still think crazy. QAnon's fucking joke, but like, all right, yeah. Well, some artists are creeps, but guess what? Yeah. Some plumbers are creeps too. True. You just don't hear about them. Creeps are creeps, and there's a percentage of creeps in every occupation.
Mm-hmm.
So to be like Hollywood's full of them, it's just because you don't have a magnifying glass on the, you know, local 408 dock workers.
Yeah.
That's because I'm watching The Wire. No, that's where that comes from. But
what's that, season 3, when it's all about the docks?
I think it was 2. Two or three. I don't know which one I just finished. But
I didn't know anything about Dylan Farrow. And boy.
What's his thing?
Dylan's a female. Dylan is neither Mia or Woody's biological child. I can't remember. Dylan is a child from Mia's previous marriage. But anyway, that's the one that, oh boy, like tiny 5, 6, 7-year-old being victimized by Woody just repeatedly, apparently. Like, ugh. I don't know why I missed that whole part of the story. I never paid much attention to it when it was happening back in the late 80s, early 90s. I heard something about him marrying his adopted kid or something, but then, so he's banging and marrying one of them and doing God knows what to a younger one.
Repulsive as it is. And then you got to think it's Woody Allen, like, oh geez. Oh my God. Oh, exactly. I'm going to go.
Ooh, I'm harmless.
What am I doing? Oh my God. That's like, I adopted you, but I'm fucking you. Oh my God. Like, just like that person doing it.
Yeah. Am I wrong to think that makes it even worse?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Such a little fumbly, dweeby coward.
Yeah. Getting molested by a dork. fucking Butterfingers over here.
Oh, Yeah, just, and he even told Mia after it was confirmed that he's banging. I want to get it right. Soon-E. After it's confirmed that he's had sex with Soon-E, he told Mia that he's, what are you worried? I promise that'll never happen. I'm the most harmless person in the world. Or I'm paraphrasing. He told her that he was something like the most harmless person in the world. You have nothing to worry about. Yeah, just because you're a fucking pussy doesn't mean you're not a fucking dangerous creep. Like, yeah, we all know that, you know, a strong puff of wind would knock you over and you'd complain about it and write a new movie about it. But that doesn't make you safe and harmless. Ugh.
Man. That's rough going, yeah, dog. That's rough going.
Yeah, it's real nauseating. Real nauseating. But yeah, I don't know how many episodes they're going to do, but they just aired episode 2 last night. So Lord knows where it's going to go from here. Ugh.
You want to talk about anything fun? You want to talk about non-molesty stuff?
There was a really cool UFO sighting by an American Airlines pilot last week. Did you hear about this?
I did see some about that.
Yeah. Phoenix-bound American Airlines flight came real close to what looked like a missile or maybe even the classic cigar-shaped UFO. I guess they were going from Cincinnati to Phoenix, and I think this occurred somewhere over New Mexico. But apparently this big-ass missile-looking object flew right by the plane. Trying to confirm if there's any...
I wonder if, like...
any weird aircraft that day, nobody's like, no, we don't know anything about that.
Honestly, I think the shit you could do with drones, I think that what you could do as an individual with drones... with 3D printing and stuff, like, you could start making shit that should probably require FAA registration.
Oh, yeah.
You have to require, like, drones have to be registered with the FAA.
Yeah, like, I would imagine.
The little guys, even little guys. Like, my buddy has the ones that you put the headset on, the little race drones, and it still has to have a little number on it, like, that it's registered with the FAA. I think it's FAA. But that's what I wonder, like, with what people are seeing... That Navy shit was still weird. I thought that was still crazy that they saw that. And the fact that they released, like, with the Navy pilots that had that stuff, the fact that they released it makes me think they know what it is. But let people think it's UFOs, because then it'll get people off our ass.
Yeah.
As far as what stuff we're developing. They just said that, like, somebody developed new supersonic drones for something. I'm looking it up. Supersonic drone fighter. Stealth drone. U.S. has a stealth drone. China's got one. Nobody's going to have one of these in a while. It's really where it's at, stealth drones. If you're not on stealth drones, get out of here, man. But let's talk about this UFO incident today from 1897.
Yeah, man. The Aurora incident. I hadn't heard about this till recently, but April 17th, 1897, Aurora, Texas, which is just north of Fort Worth, a little northwest of Dallas, maybe about an hour from the, what do they call that, the Metroplex? Anyway, back in 1897, just typical lazy day in Aurora, Texas, and a bunch of people started seeing this giant cigar-shaped craft flying super slow, reported like 10, 12 miles an hour, somewhere like that, going northbound from Aurora. And as legend has it, this thing crashed into a windmill on a judge Proctor. He had a farm there in Aurora. And apparently had a big windmill. This thing crashed into the windmill and then crashed on the ground nearby. And people showed up. 6 in the morning. People started running towards the crash site. debris everywhere. And they find the pilot. Apparently, they found a non-human pilot, a.k.a. an alien, that had deceased upon impact. And they buried the alien in a nearby cemetery. And they took some of the townspeople, jacked some of the debris, and took it home. And the other debris that was left over, they tossed into a nearby well. So, and apparently, there's mixed stories about the burying of the alien, but the Aurora Cemetery there in Aurora is apparently where it was buried. They made it a point to say that it was buried in a Christian ceremony. I thought that was funny. That Christian rites.
Yeah, I probably didn't know how else to do it.
Yeah, it's true. So apparently this thing, there's a couple different stories. Some people say it was buried there and it is still there. And I think they've located the marker. It's just a big stone, and now you can go and see it. And people have, and the dead alien, they named Ned. So R.I.P. Ned written all over the stone. Other people say that it was initially buried there and then removed in fear of grave robbers.
Yeah.
But, now, keep in mind, this is 1897, 50 years before Roswell. And also, a lot of people think it's a hoax, but a good point that somebody made about it being a hoax was this was 1897. This is pre-Roswell. This was pre-Orson Welles. This is pre-any of that. Like UFOs, I don't even know if the term UFO had been coined in 1897.
Yeah.
Point being, it wasn't in the zeitgeist back then. It wasn't part of mainstream popular culture, the way it is now with UFOs. So if this is a hoax, good on you for your imagination.
That's what, I'm reading this section here where they talk about it being a hoax, and then the railroad had never passed through that town, so the mm-hmm. town was kind of dying, and then it was this Judge Proctor was doing this to drum up a little business. But that's a weird choice to drum up business. Coming up with a UFO of like a thing that nobody even knows about. And by the way, didn't you just used to get the circus or something? Like, wasn't there? The story doesn't hold a lot of water, but it's curious that they would go with a UFO.
Mm-hmm. Well, and obviously anybody who witnessed it in 1897 is no longer with us, I would assume. But I did see there were some reports done in the late 60s and 70s, like local news and stuff. And there's clips of that on YouTube where they interviewed, these really old folks back then that were 10, 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And there was one old guy in particular who was like, yeah, I saw it. Like, we saw the thing flying by real slow, and we saw the thing crashed, and me and my brothers ran up there against our parents' wishes, and we saw the debris, and we saw them hauling away a little body. And so, there was obviously a lot of eyewitnesses back then. Again, none of those are.
Yeah, but what do you remember from being 10 years old?
I remember if I saw a UFO crash into a windmill, I guarantee I would remember that.
If you're 10 years old, you wouldn't know it was a UFO.
We were 10 years old back then.
I saw a car accident when I was little. I couldn't tell you what color car was, what happened. I just remember I saw a car accident, and it looked crazy. But
no, I think you would remember this at 10 years old, no?
I don't know. All right. Mystery airships is another. I just clicked the second click, man. Like I said, two clicks, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to do two clicks on a story.
That's old two-click Kyle.
Two-click. Back up your research with one more click.
Mm-hmm.
About mystery airships. Cultural predecessor to the modern claims of extraterrestrials or flying saucers. Mm-hmm. They're dirigibles, if you will. Very seen a lot in the 1880s, 1890s. So, dirigibles were out there.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been one of those.
Did those dirigibles, were they piloted by little short, creepy, big-headed figures, humanoids?
Maybe, given the fact that they got the tiniest, smartest guy to pilot it because it was top secret. So a smart guy, big brain, little guy because of weight.
Mm-hmm.
You're going up in a balloon. You can't get a big, fat, smart guy. You need the tiniest, smart guy.
Like a jockey.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like I need somebody the size of a jockey with a brain of Einstein to get in our balloon. We're going to give you a weird outfit because you're going to be up there. It's going to be cold. I don't know, man. It's not.
Reading from one of these articles. On close examination, the residents found that a badly disfigured body was found and apparently was the only one on board the spacecraft. Even in the disgruntled state, it was apparent and clear to identify that the body found did not belong of this world, thereby concluding that it was a non-earthly being, the UFO that crashed.
1897, not of this world, could mean it was a Chinaman and they wouldn't know what to do. Anything different that somebody found in northern Texas in 1897 is not of this world. Could have a Canadian accent, they'd hang you for being a fucking spy.
Oh, man. The residents went ahead, disposed of the body.
When I say Chinaman as a nomenclature of the time, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Offending anybody.
Yeah. What's that? Was it Big Lebowski? Asian American, please. The apparent alien was given a proper burial as per Christian rites and customs by the residents in the Aurora Cemetery. Texas Historical Commission put up a marker near the grave of the alien, summarizing the incident about how it happened as per the accounts of the residents. The mystery further intensified when the property of Judge Proctor was purchased by Mr. Brawley Oates. He used the water from the well, which was also subject to debris of the airship, and eventually fell ill in an extremely complicated case of arthritis. He claimed that it was a result of the consumption of the water contaminated by the debris and sealed the well up. And other people who apparently touched some of that debris and grabbed it and brought it home, there were numerous incidents of people becoming disfigured and deformed by touching this weird debris.
Yeah, people that juggle snakes at church every weekend.
But yeah, I mean, who's to know if this is real or not, but again, they're dead now, but there were eyewitnesses who many decades later were like, yeah, this is what I saw. And also, again, 1897, if you're going to hoax, based off of what? Like,
I think that's,
you know,
that's an interesting. Not,
they don't know what UFOs are.
But think about what technology came out in the last 20 years that the military had 20 years ago. But now we're only getting it now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Have you seen the stuff about these invisibility cloaks?
No.
It's basically, it looks like a semicircular piece of plastic, like a shield, but it somehow bends the light of what's behind it to mimic what's in front of it. And it's invisible. They show you, go on the other side of this plastic shield or whatever it's made out of, and there's objects there that you did not see in front of it.
Is it not just a circular mirror?
No, it's it just looks like, look it up. I can't explain the science of it, but it exists. Think of just holograms. Think of like movable holograms.
Yeah.
That they have, but 30 years ago, somebody showed that to you, you'd be like, or the stuff they came out with just the other day, that company that can kind of reanimate old pictures. They can take old photographs and add animation to them, and it looks like they're alive. They did it like the statue, Michelangelo's David. They just animated it, and it looks realistic. Uh-huh. I mean, stuff like deepfakes now. Like, what's going to be a problem with deepfakes?
True. Yeah, that shit's weird.
So, if we're going to, like, rural Texas in 1897, and you anything flying over them is going to be weird. And you're like, yeah, it's an alien. Quick, bury it over here. I'm like, you got it. Oh, praise Jesus. The space people didn't eat us. And whatever incarnation of the military is like, dodged another bullet with that one.
Yeah.
Like, let people believe something ridiculous so there's no heat on us.
Well, okay, here's my other argument, though. We're sitting here trying to debunk this like we don't both believe in UFOs. I believe in UFOs. I believe in aliens. So why is it crazy to think that in 1947 in Roswell or in 1897 in Texas that some of them crashed? Why is that? If you believe that there's alien life out there, like, why is it so hard to believe that, yeah, this might be real?
Why was the UFO slow and shitty?
Good point. Okay. The speed, that does lend to
just
your...
Just 120 years ago, the UFO technology was just as shitty as ours was?
I mean, maybe it was slowing down to land or something. But I'm not saying this is legit, but I can't just be like, fuck no, when I'm like, oh yeah, UFOs sure exist, can. But they don't
fuck
crash.
No.
So UFOs exist, but they never crash?
Not. I'm not on it, man. No, not this one.
I mean, yeah, I granted there's almost no evidence to this.
And these bumpkins dragged an alien body and we're still like, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. like these people that if they saw a man kiss another man, they'd burn down their whole village and move somewhere else. Are going to sit there and splash holy water and give sacraments to a burnt alien body? Instead of running around like the devil fell to earth.
I wonder if if there was an obit in the local paper. Or I wonder if they sat Shiva with this dude.
That's what I'm saying. Ned. They called him Ned. Listen, creative way to get traffic. We're talking about it still, 124 years later.
Yeah.
So good on you for that, but.
Mm-hmm.
And a fun story, but yeah, I don't think old pedal powered UFOs flying over Texas.
Oh my god! And this was pre Wright brothers too. So,
I mean,
yeah, I understand your point with the technology might exist, but not be made aware or available to the public. But like that too, though, like the. People, the citizens in Aurora, Texas, 1897, didn't even know what the fucking airplane was. Because in terms of mainstream culture, it didn't exist yet.
Dirigibles. Blimps. It was shaped like a blimp. It was moving slow like a blimp.
When was the first blimp? Were there blimps before airplanes? When did...
What? Yeah, man.
When was the... what's the one that exploded?
Hindenburg.
Hindenburg. When was that? When was that?
First blimp. I'm looking up first blimp flight. Goddamn. Count Ferdinand von Zeppelin, a German military officer, developed the first rigid framed airships in the late 1800s. So right around this time.
Okay.
So hot air balloons were going, but this is the first time that airships, a.k.a. blimps, a.k.a. dirigibles, were going. So that was like people had seen hot air balloons maybe, but it was new to seeing this shape. Hindenburg went down in 1937.
Where was that?
First successful airship was 1852. That was in New Jersey, killing 36 people.
Okay.
Okay. Titanic was 1912. I was going to say, like, not a lot. You see the video of the Hindenburg. No stories about that, though. No real, nothing going on with that one.
Hmm.
you know, like no drama around it. Went up, was filled with flammable gas and caught it. Also, you know what? I heard if you like kind of just shout out, like have any notoriety and shout out to the Goodyear people, they'll let you fly in the blimp.
Really?
Yeah, just be like, hey, Goodyear, I think your tires are cool. I'd like to be in your blimp. Free publicity. You need to
pull some strings.
Man, I saw one that freaked me out. You see them in LA quite a bit because they're all like they're based down there, but they do travel for events. And I guess one of the times I was coming back down to LA from here in Oregon, it was weird to see one. It's kind of because there's a lot of like smaller airports and private airports going down the coast, and you see a lot of like crop dusters and planes flying low. And that I think that's always really cool to see. Yeah. Like you take it for granted, air travel, right? You walk down the jetway into the tube, you sit there. It's still a pretty amazing thing. I know this is like a Louis C.K. bit or whatever, but so when you see somebody that just in their own airplane, like it's up to them to walk around and go like, yeah, it looks like it's screwed on there.
Yeah.
The right way. And that, you think even if a wheel falls off your car, it sucks, but you'll be all right.
Yeah, I've always had crazy respect for like, people like your father, like airplane mechanics. Like, if you fuck up at your job, a lot of people might die.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's protocol with, like, testing and a series of checks and balances. Okay, you look at it and make sure it works. Now you look at it. Well, at least that's what I hope so.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was that video the other week of some, I don't know where it took off from, somewhere in the U.S., and the engine just fell apart.
Yeah.
Landed in somebody's lawn.
Where was that? Landed in somebody's yard.
Yeah.
Piece of the engine.
But seeing that, it was a United flight, by the way, so fuck those guys once again. But just to be like, oh, this is my little, like, and know that those airplanes are made, like, it's a metal frame with just cloth, like a sealed cloth that's around the outside.
Mm-hmm.
It's not solid, just like paper. Like, oh, I'm going to fly up in the air.
Oh, man. Speaking of which, two nights ago, I had a crazy vivid dream that I was outside with a large group of people. I don't know if I was at a concert or a sporting event, but out of nowhere in the sky, we all saw about 20 or 30 giant UFOs. Everybody was freaking the fuck out, and I just kept yelling, I fucking knew it!
Dave's last words, I told you so!
Yeah, I was like punching people, like my buddy, like in the shoulder, like, hey, look at that, I fucking knew it! Look at that! And you know what it looked like? It looked like, man, I don't even know how to describe what I'm about to try to describe, but like, oh, man. Like, sometimes in, like, a baby's room, they'll have them, the little projectors that project images up on the ceiling.
Oh, sure.
And they, like, rotate and swirl around. What do you call that? Anyway,
yeah.
It looked like that, and it looked, there was about 20 or 30 of them, but they were all different shapes. Like, one looked like a blimp, and one looked like a star, and one looked like a boat, but they weren't just, in the dream, they weren't just, like, light images. It was like, no, that's, I can see metal, I can see whatever, but for some reason they all looked different. But people were just running and screaming, and I wasn't scared at all. I was just like, yeah, I knew it.
Did you wake up excited? Do you ever have, like,
yes,
whether your dreams
up.
Where your dreams affect your emotions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I woke up like all like just pumped up, like, yeah, oh fuck, I'm awake, damn it.
I've had it where, like, something serious has happened in a dream. Like, maybe somebody died or, like, I fucked up something and woken up with that real emotion.
Ugh.
It seems like dreams are, like, there to, like, kind of protect your mind and kind of defrag all your random thoughts. So for you to wake up panicked, it's like, come on, brain. I thought dreams were, like, weird. Unclog the bullshit so I could have a fresh day. And here you are putting me right behind the eight ball. Waking up in tears, depressed that I killed my whole family.
Man, not to turn it sad real quick, but I tell you, about a year ago, I had a dream, a real vivid dream about my dad, and I met him in my dream, and I was in some old house, and I walked, it was like this old, like, Victorian-style house, and I don't remember if I was alone or was with other people, but I walked into this other room, kind of like a little sitting room or a little library, and my dad was sitting there in, like, a big, grand chair, like an old, nice, upholstered grand antique chair. And I remember saying, like, "Dad, what the hell? What are you doing? You're dead." And he had like such a chill, calm look on his face, and he just said, "I'm fine. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. Everything's
really
good." And I was like, "Really?" He's like, Yeah, everything's fine." I just remember he kept saying, "Everything's fine," in like a really calm demeanor. And I was like, "Oh, well, okay. Well, cool." Like, and I don't remember doing this, but it was cut short somehow. I don't remember if I woke up or just, you know, segued into another part of the dream, but I wanted to ask him, like, "How you been? How are things in the afterlife?" or whatever. But I just remember him nodding his head and saying, like, "Don't worry, everything's fine." And I was like, "Well, that's good to know."
Were you like going through anything tumultuous in your life or at the time?
I don't think so. No.
Was there like, no, maybe it was like a sense of closure or something?
Maybe. I don't know what it
was. Was that what Billy Wayne was saying? He's like, "You'll see your daddy again."
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. But yeah, I thought it was weird that he was basically just kept reiterating that he's fine. There's nothing to worry about, or like, I'm doing well, like in the afterlife, you know, it's going pretty good. I'm making new friends. I don't, but yeah, it was so vivid and so weird.
But that's good. Like, did it make you feel good when you woke up? Were you like,
"Yes"?
Oh,
I was about to say, when I woke up then, I felt like a little reassured, like, "Oh, okay." And we've talked about that. Who knows what lies in the afterworld, but it's not that I was ever fearful of, like, because I don't know what to think. You know, I'm agnostic. I don't know what's next. But it's not like I was ever worried, like, "Oh, is he okay? Or is he in hell? Or is he this? Or is he that?" It's not like I was worried about him in the afterlife. But, yeah, he just kept saying, "I'm fine. Everything's good."
I mean, amazing. Like, sorry.
No, I was just saying, he had, like, this weird little smirk on his face, like, like he was having a good time. Like, this place is pretty cool.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Amazing if it is just your brain trying to, like, it's your own brain preserving your well-being. Or it's a little bit of the old, you know, oneness on the other side.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe you get, like, maybe you're allowed a certain amount of communication when you get to the other side. Like phone calls, yeah, in prison, so. Except in a happier sense. All right, choose who you want to call, and you're only going to get a little while. It's a collect call.
Oh, man.
The price is going to be on them.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, anyway, I don't know why I got started thinking about that.
But, that's all right. That's a good dream.
Yeah.
That's good vibes. We can end on good vibes.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't I don't know if that's the only one. I haven't had many dreams about him, or at least dreams where I ran into him in my dream. You know, I probably had dreams where, you know, I remember something and he was there or whatever, but I remember like speaking to him and just being like, "Holy shit, what are you doing here?"
Well, that's cool.
And he didn't tell me what he was doing there, but yeah, that was cool.
That's good, man. He's using his collect calls.
On you. Speaking of which, you got Family Zoom in a few minutes?
Speaking of which, I'm going to jump onto Family Zoom.
All right. Well, I'll hold off on this recipe, dude. I'll just tell you real quick, but I will give details about it next week. I made such a kick-ass lasagna the other day that
I love lasagna.
Oh, boy. Remind me to tell you about this fucking lasagna.
All right. I think we got to start going the other way. I think you should go on that Reddit and start taking listener recipes and whipping them up at home and seeing what you would do different.
Ooh. Okay. I like that.
I think that might be like you throw the little DJ Dave remix on them.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Those scallops, whoever made those scallops. Man, scallops, such an underrated seafood. Everybody talks about fish and shellfish and then shrimp.
Oh, big old pat of sea butter. That's what that is.
Fucking scallops. Anything to plug? Paradise PD, that's going right now. Where's that, Netflix?
Paradise PD is coming back sometime soon. I'm going to start doing shows around Portland. I think March 17th is going to be the first one at Helium. Tickets aren't on sale yet, but it's Kyle Kinane and Friends. I'm not headlining. I think it's going to be $15, and it's just, let's see. Let's look at what a year off of comedy looks like on Kyle.
Didn't you do a Zoom show a couple weeks ago? Did you do Hot Tub?
I did Zoom, yeah, but I did Hot Tub last week, but that's not the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Sitting there facing the real consequences of a bad joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like doing virtual firing squad on a Zoom show. It's like, nah, you got to face them down in person. So
a couple days ago was my 1 year, I don't know if anniversary is the right term, but February 27th of last year was the last time I was on stage. So yeah. It's been over a year now. That's crazy.
I did 2 outdoor shows. And now they're coming back up around here, so I'm going to start doing those. And
that's cool.
You'll see me out in that world. Look for that's the gagging awesome. Wagon. Coming to a town near you.
Oh, man. As the time that this comes out on Tuesday, I should have my grip of a hogwash vinyl. If anybody doesn't have one and wants one, you can order one directly from me. Just message me or comment or whatever on Instagram. I gotta streamline this. I got too many sources of communication. I can't keep up with them. But if you want you want a hogwash, just reach out to me on Instagram. My handle is _ Dave Stone. There's a few Dave Stones out there that beat me to the punch on that handle. But _ Dave Stone. Just message me if you want one. $25, free shipping. I'll have some brown ones. I'll have some orange ones. So yeah, holler at your boy. I'll tell you how to get one of those.
Holler at your boys.
Mm-hmm. Holler at your boys. Also on Cameo. Are you really on Cameo? Cause I looked for you the other day. I wanted to see that $1,000 price tag and I couldn't find you.
And then maybe they kicked me off cause I had no takers.
$1,000 Cameo. I'm on Cameo. I'm getting, churning those suckers out, man. People, some of them are fun and sincere, and some of them are jokey and mean. So, a guy the other day just wanted me to tell his buddy to fuck off in a creative way, and he was making fun of, told me all, basically just roasting him. He gave me some details that I could roast him with, and those are fun. I'm not like a mean comic on stage, so I never really get to scratch that itch in terms of just being a fucking prick. But man, that could be fun. That could be a lot of fun. I may be onto something there.
All right, man. Buddy. Good news all around.
Good times, man. Good times.
All right, I'll be more awake next week. That skating took it out of me, dude.
Yeah, man. Well, you're a rad dude, man.
I'm not. I lost my rad. I'm trying to find. Kyle needs to get his rad back.
I rarely plug this, but Patreon, patreon.com/boogiemonster, $4 a month. I'm switching it up a little bit. This month we did Dave's Record Room Q&A as opposed to Dave's Kitchen. So I'm talking music this month on Patreon. And then our regular Q&A will be out sometime this week. So, yeah,
$4 a month. You're just accessible, man.
Yeah, man. I'm here. I'm here for the people.
You're just Dave from the block.
That's right.
Here's Big Booty Dave from the block. That's all.
Oh, let's end on that, buddy. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, bud.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.